or went around and showed things. And they showed these things like, all the progress economically. And then this was all criticized as propaganda, but that's the way it is. I mean, what do you want? The country is doing well economically. Germany is careening towards a depression. All of the rest of Europe is in a recession. We are growing, the United States, but at a lower rate. I mean, this is reality. You just look at the IMF numbers, the World Bank numbers. This isn't propaganda. I think the problem here is people don't want to hear this. So I think maybe what will happen here is what happened to Afghanistan. I noticed no one talks about Afghanistan. We were there 20 years. We were committed to the status of women in Afghanistan. What happened to that? We don't talk about it anymore. I assume Ukraine will go away. It's unpleasant. It's unpleasant what happened. That's how we'll look at it, and we won't want to talk
Although,
about it.
will the leadership talk about the Ukraine syndrome, like they talked about the Vietnam syndrome, as an excuse to spend
Yeah.
on the military?
I just don't know. I mean, my worry now is, of course, the dynamic situation in the Middle East, which could completely go out of control. And I'm also concerned about China. China is a very is also a serious matter. We're a powerful country, but I think we got a little accustomed to the power we had about 20 years ago. We just don't have the power that we could take on all of these regions simultaneously. And maybe in the end, that's why President Biden, who's absolutely opposed to Putin, absolutely committed to Ukraine, is allowing this to go on. Maybe in the end, he can they see we've run out of options unless we want to go to war. I don't think we want to go to war with Russia. They will go to war. They will go to war over this. They're very clear about it. Like President Kennedy in 1962, who was willing to go to war, Putin will go to war over Ukraine. And that's the decision we have to make. I've never met anybody who said, yes, I'm willing to risk a nuclear war.
That's University of Arizona professor Pat Willerton speaking with KVU contributor David Rosenberg about potential ending scenarios for the Russia-Ukraine war. You've been listening to KVU News In Depth. I'm Bertie. Thanks for being with us.
You're listening to Community Radio.
KBOO, Portland.
KVU Community Radio is listener-sponsored. That's right, 80% of our funding comes from donations from listeners just like you. Right now, during the last week of our spring membership drive, your support can go even further. Contribute today at bit.ly/KBOO, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $20,000 thanks to the generous support of a group of anonymous donors. Maximize the impact of your support for KVU right now and help us reach our $60,000 goal by May 25th. Thanks so much.
Hi everyone, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. Tune in this Friday, May 24th at 11 a.m. on KVU 90.7 FM in Portland, to hear my interview with Katie Bester and Eric Sugarman, recent graduates of the Lewis and Clark Law School. We'll be discussing animal law and the functions of the Animal Legal Defense Fund chapter at Lewis and Clark. Hope you can tune in to That Vegan Show this Friday at 11 a.m. right here on KVU FM.
Are you eloquent, an elephant? Can you converse in chimpanzee? Have a heart-to-heart in horse or chat with a cow? Me neither, but we can definitely speak for them. Hi, I'm Michelle Coppola, inviting you to join me every fourth Friday of the month at 10 a.m. for Voices for the Animals, where we give a voice to the issues, concerns, and welfare of the other non-human creatures on the planet. Until we can have in-depth discussions in dolphin or yak, well, in yak, it's a great way to learn about how we can make this a more humane world. Voices for the Animals, every fourth Friday of the month at 10 a.m., only here on KVU.
Here at KVU, we honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on. The Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tomwater, Wet'lala Bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin Kalapuya, and many other indigenous tribes and nations of the region of the Willamette River and that great river known as Shwanekku, Wimal, Nishaiwana, and Columbia. Many names for the living water force that has sustained this region for countless generations and provided phenomenal life to our blessed ecosystems. We believe it is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationships to each other and the living world.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland.
You are listening to a digital Indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell us names in first then?
This is DJ Yellow Horse. You're listening to the Rose City Native Radio Show. It is going to be a great show today. We have a couple of guests coming up to talk about an amazing event happening this weekend, a fundraiser. We'll keep it casual. Music, poetry, more. And I can't wait. There's some really good music that's going to be coming up later on today that I teared up a little bit. I'm not going to lie. let's start out right now with Let's Hop to It by Bryden Gwiskwenzi here on Rose City Native Radio. Hey, hello, hey, hello, hey, 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 hey
Sometimes it hurts to be indigenous, born in this nation, not enough to talk about decolonization. In the battles with myself, I'm continually facing, feel the stress of the world on my shoulders, I'm fading. But I ain't going out yet, cause this is just the outset, and I ain't making change if I'm rapping about an outfit, unless it's that camo, intelligence is ammo, modern day warrior, just call me Rambo, not trying to be deceitful, cause mostly I'm peaceful, but getting sick and tired of being seen as unequal, so I'm waiting for the pitch as I'm stepping to the plate, they saying that we shit, but we live in second rate, well, they don't like the truth, so that's what I'm coming with, repping for the youth, yeah, that's who I'm running with, don't represent a leadership or represent empowerment, working on the ground cause I have issues with the government, who issue out apologies while sticking to the policy, more definite than probably, keeping us in poverty, wanna tell me how to live and how to react, the devastation of my culture, trying to keep it intact, while living on the rules of the Indian Act, Indian agents were just racist, I'm just stating the facts, they took my identity, I'm taking it back, I am a Anishinaabe, I belong to the land, I don't belong to the queen, so as long as I dream, the ease of sleep, hear the song that forever will be, sung from the heart, so whenever I speak, the truth comes out, and it's setting me free,
setting me free. But there's a lot that I carry, so much I wanna bury. Sometimes I wonder to myself, why can't I just be happy? I'm living with the memories, it's running in my blood, loaded in my bones and buried in the mud. But music is my medicine, my life is the evidence. I realize that ever since my people called it prevalent, coming from the Rizzy Raz with words of intelligence. And if I wasn't hellbound, they might say I was heaven sent. They say they wounded my soul. They say this land is their home. Dig up my ancestors' bones, but they can't silence my song. No, they can't silence our song.
We were all wounded at Wounded Knee, you and me. We were all destiny, you and me, you and me, you and me.
They made us many promises, but always broke their word. They penned us in like buffalo, drove us like a herd. And finally and me.
Vancouver's filled with pill poppers and junk hits. I'm sick and tired sleeping in $600 bunk beds. I'm going to a place where I can rest my noggin. It's the good old Okanagan. That Okanagan, Okanagan. All your worries and your troubles will be forgotten in the good old Okanagan. I hear the town of Whistler is a hell of a time. I hear the ski in Revelstoke is pretty fine. But there's only one place where I'll be bringing my toboggan. That's the good old Okanagan. That Okanagan, Okanagan. All your worries and your troubles will be forgotten in the good old Okanagan. Is a dirty, stinking mess where the liquor flows like water and the water tastes like H2S. Those oil towns have got you downtrodden. Head on to the good old Okanagan. That Okanagan, Okanagan. All your worries and your troubles will be forgotten in the good old Okanagan. That Okanagan, Okanagan. All your worries and your troubles will be forgotten in the good old Okanagan. In the good old Okanagan.
with any riches, oh, as long as he's smart and kind. I got a man who's got substance and a whole lot of brilliance that shines. And he's got a big old heart of gold, ooh, and that's just the kind of gold I like. Get a big, a little deeper heart in. Big, big, deep, you understand me. You got to dig a little deeper heart in. Dig, dig, deep, you understand me. You got no idea what I'm after, but I can tell you it's something that's free.
Back callous, feel everything between us. If my fingers go numb from play, will you blow across the tips so I can feel? If my fingers go numb.
You are still listening to Rose City Native Radio. I am still DJ Yellow Horse. I have a couple of guests today in the studio. I have Celeste White Wolf and Nicole Adams to talk about the Portland All Nations Canoe Family fundraiser that is going to be happening tomorrow. Celeste, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Nicole?
Thanks for having us.
Ooh. Hold on 1 second. I think I got that wrong. All right, Nicole?
I said thanks for having us.
Well, thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it. So tell us a little bit more about what the Portland All Nations Canoe Family is as an organization.
The Canoe Family was formed about in 2013. It started with a group of elders from the NAYA organization, you know, Native American Youth and Family Center over in North Portland. Elders in that group were pretty strong and very insistent that they wanted to have some kind of activities with the youth and the elders so that we could have a multi-generational group that came together on a regular basis. And at that point, one of our elders, Larry Dufanay, had gone to a session or a canoe-making project and brought back the idea of the canoe and bringing a canoe to the Portland area. Some of the elders got together and over the period of time started meeting and started talking about it and brought in the youth and elders section of NAYA, and pretty soon the forming of the Canoe Family was ready and up and rolling. And in the early days, two wonderful folks came in and did a really great financial support, Randy and Chris. With their financial support, the family was able to get their first canoe. It's a cedar-stripped canoe that was named last year, and the name of our canoe is El Lobo. And El Lobo was made by a gentleman up in, I believe, Suquamish in Washington. And that canoe has protected and taken care of our family for at least the last two paddles that we've been on. We've been to the journey, a paddle to Nisqually 2 years ago, and last year we went to Campbell River up in Canada with the canoe. And each time we go on the canoe, it's a spiritual experience that we invite everyone to come in and enjoy with us. We have on the canoe elders, we have on the canoe the young people. We make sure that everyone is safe. Our skipper, Lucas Angus, is adamant that people operate safely on the canoe and that they be physically ready to go on the canoe. But when you go on the canoe, it's the spiritual part of the journey that makes this be such a wonderful experience for everybody. And we really invite the community to come and share it with us, to come to some of our canoe paddles, to come and join us, this particularly this Friday when we have our fundraising. At Friday's event, we're going to have the Canoe Family do some of the songs and dances that they perform when we do protocol. At each journey, part of the event is when you get ready to come on land, the canoe cannot land without gaining permission from the people of that land. And once the people give you permission to come onto the land, then you gift them songs and dances from your people, and then in return they will also gift the people who are landing. We've done that for 2 years, and we have a special event coming up this year in 2018. And that's why we have the fundraiser coming up on Friday night from 7 to 9. It's going to be at the Multnomah Friends Meeting House, which is the address is 4312 Southeast Stark. Our goal for this fundraising is to help pay for the lodging for the elders. The elders are a critical part of our journey. They work all year long, and we want to make sure that they come in and participate in this year's journey by being able to stay in a hotel. The last two journeys, the elders have had to sleep in the camps, had to sometimes sleep on the ground. Ron and I, when we went on journey last year, the year before, we sleep on cots because we're seniors. But on the other hand, some of the elders can't do that, and we need to be able to take care of them this year. So the money that we're going to be raising this Friday is going to help us take care of our elders and make sure that they have lodging on our journey. If I can, I'll tell you a little bit about the journey that we're doing this year. It is different. This is the first time it's been held in maybe many, many, many years. There are going to be 7 to 8 canoes, traditional canoes, coming down the Columbia River. We're going to start July 19th at the Wallawa Lake outside of Joseph, Oregon, and we'll have a sunrise launch at the Wallawa Lake. That's the tradition of the old Joseph Band of Nez Perces there. And the canoes will go around the lake and depart. When they ask permission to land, they will be asking permission from the old Joseph Band of Nez Perces and the descendants from that group. And the canoes that are going to be in this year's paddle coming down the Columbia are from as far away as Kalispell, locally the Cowlitz, the Chinook from the ocean side, the Nez Perce, the Nimiipuu from going to have two different kind of canoes, one from the Nez Perce area and then also one from the Joseph area. And then, of course, the Portland All Nations canoe family is going to be there. We're hopeful that the Rock Creek canoes are going to be there as well. Saturday, we're going to go and participate in the naming and blessing of their canoes.
And this is Nicole. I just wanted to also say that it's a pretty fantastic time for some of the local folks here to start participating in the canoe, because some of us who are either the plateau tribes or along the river tribes, you know, to see all of these different river tribes and communities coming together and organizing as one cohesive unit going down the Columbia River, it's just a really powerful thing to see all of these, you know, various tribal communities coming together, again, on behalf of their youth, trying to revive some of these old ways. And so it's just super, super exciting, and we're so delighted to have such invested partners, these other tribal communities. They are absolutely fantastic, and we're learning a lot from one another as far as how to prepare and, you know, how we're going to serve our youth.
Yes. And thank you. And we also are reaching out and making sure and pay respects to the tribes along the Columbia River. We've asked folks from the various landing spots to come and honor us by granting us permission to land in their territory. The places that we're going to stop, in addition to the Wallawa Lake, the next stop is going to be in the Rock Creek area. After that, it's going to be Celilo, and then Hood River, Cascade Locks, Camas or Washougal, and Fort Vancouver. And we'll be stopping in those various places and asking the people of those lands to grant us permission to land in their area. We also invite the community here to come join us at that. It'll be wonderful to have people come and give a good hip hip hooray or hurrah or just a battle cry as we come down the Columbia River, and to see the traditional canoes as they go down the river is a sight to see. If you get the opportunity to listen as we come down the river, a lot of the canoes sing traditional songs as they come down the river, and singing those songs and the way that they resonate off the water is very spiritual. This year, because it's the Columbia River, we're going to have kind of a different environment. As everybody knows, the Columbia River can be pretty treacherous with the winds. And so we're going to be careful on that to make sure everybody's safe as they're coming down the Columbia. We're working with the Columbia River Intertribal Policy Intertribal Fish Commission to help us in our safety efforts to come down the river. But we encourage people to come and help us, come and maybe share some food with us, share some chores with us, help us care for the children, make sure the elders have got good seating, that they're warm, that we can take care of each other as a multicultural. Multicultural. Our name is Portland All Nations Canoe Family. That means all tribal nations and all people nations. So we invite people to come out and join us. Is there anything else you'd like to say about your involvement with the Canoe Family, Nicole?
Just that the larger tribal canoe journey that started getting revived 30 years ago. I've just been fortunate enough to be in some of the other communities where these programs are well developed, and just seen the powerful ability to reach young people, especially our youth in their childhood and in their teenage years, which, as some of us who've worked with youth know, that's, a critical time for them, where there's a lot of, tugging and pulling on, issues of identity and community and feeling a sense of belonging. And that's really why, I'm happy to be involved with this, because I think urban Native youth growing up in a community like Portland, I'm sure their families, and guardians are seeking something to plug them into something that is culturally relevant, that is a positive influence. And I just heard of a young participant in the family who had told his mother, every time I hang out with those grown-ups, they all hug me, they all welcome me, I feel like I'm protected. And those other Indian kids, they get me, and just I was telling my husband earlier, someday those youth are gonna look back and remember this time when there was a whole community of Native people surrounding them and really just having their best interest in mind. And I try to impart to the young people something I learned from a trip to New Zealand, where our Maori host said that they were raising their youth to be fiercely indigenous. And I think that's just a personal goal of mine, but it's sort of the shared embodied spirit of what we're trying to do, is make our youth feel proud of who they are, connected to the kinship networks and other community members, to feel part of a family. And also to be physically and spiritually strong. We work throughout the year, and we're practicing long poles now, and I thought my arms were about ready to fall off and float away last weekend, but happened to make it through. But it's just a healthy and spiritually strong and wonderful opportunity for Native families to get involved. Like Cece said, everybody is welcome. And it might feel a little daunting to sort of jump in thinking you're catching things as they've already, like the ship has sailed, but not at all. I just encourage folks, and especially parents who are looking for something really positive and hopefully very powerful for their Native youth to plug into. I've seen in other communities where young men have really benefited from, they could take a left turn into some bad decision making, but instead, with the help of their canoe families up and down the Northwest Coast, they've turned into young leaders in their own communities, and that's what we're hoping to nurture in here in Portland.
And I think what I'd like to try to maybe emphasize is one more activity that we have, but I'd like to make sure that we finish our discussion with the fundraiser this Friday, tomorrow. But let me kind of touch on a bit of some of our other activities that we're doing. On June 19th, I believe it is, June 10th, we're having a river paddle cleanup. We're going to be starting at the Willamette Park area, putting our canoes there, and then go from Willamette Park up to Cathedral Park. Last year when we've done this, we've invited other people with their canoes and kayaks to come with us. And so if anyone out there is very interested in joining that little armada of small canoes, please come with us and join us. It's going to be at 9 o'clock at June 10th at the Willamette Park is when we'll launch. Some other fun things that we've been doing, we've been very blessed in the sense that we've received from the McKinsey River Gathering financial support to help us become a nonprofit and to help us organize our group and to put together our strategic plan. With a great help of Ruth Jensen, who led us through that effort, through the help of Corin Atkinson to help us with our bylaws, Charlotte Spencer to get online and do all of the paperwork for our nonprofit. We're there. We have one more button to push, but we're pretty close to that. We're about ready to launch that. I think within the next week we'll have that completed. So thank you, McKinsey River Gathering, for that. Also, Metro has granted us funds to make a dugout canoe. And that's been a dream of ours for at least 4 or 5 years now, to have our own dugout canoe and learn how to make it. And so the Metro Placemaking Grant will help us start that start and finish that process. We actually will not start, however, until the end of until August, after we come back from journey. So if anybody's interested in helping us be a carver on that canoe, to help us do just feeding the families while we're carving, please contact us and start volunteering to help. We'll keep a great volunteer list for that, and we'll feed you. We'll kind of make sure and take care of you while you're helping. We also have in that grant the tools to do the carving, and we'll have a master carver come and teach us. Our goal is to get the tree down. We have a tree identified preliminarily that we need to make sure and finalize that work. But we look forward to having people help us with that dugout canoe and make that be a big part of the project at year's end.
Yeah, so we can just remind everybody about tomorrow. It's going to be kind of a hootenanny. We're so overwhelmed by the community response to our invitations. And first of all, if you want to find out more information, just sort of search for Portland All Nations Canoe Family in Facebook, and it'll show you. We've been posting announcements throughout the week, and you'll find out information, including this overwhelming response to, well, first of all, we're selling Indian tacos for $10, and we've got some of the area's best fry bread cooks hard at work on that. And with that, you get a drink, but also you get sort of entree into this luxurious silent auction that has mink coats and plateau style beautiful beaded bags, a wonderful Cherokee basket. And if that's not enough, we've had Shyla Spicer and her war pony brought us bags and bags of bluebird flour from Topnish, Washington, because that's what I hear is the secret ingredient. And so it's a community effort. But yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And as Cece said at the beginning of our conversation here, it's from, the doors open at 6:45, and it's at the Multnomah Friends Meeting House. That's at 4312 Southeast Stark. And again, the details and all of that. Oh, and there's going to be, I hear there's ample street parking, but you know how that is in Portland. So our friends at Mazama's Mountaineering have said that we can park in their lot, and that's at Southeast 43rd and Stark. Again, all the details are on our Facebook page. And we'd love for you to RSVP so we know how much food to buy in order to cook for tomorrow. And so that's on our Facebook page, Portland All Nations Canoe Family. And I don't know. I mean, oh, another silent auction thing. Shalaya is donating some Pendleton Uggs, which I didn't know were a thing, but I think they've got my name written on it. So you can come and enjoy an Indian taco for $10. So that's a bargain. You get the great entertainment. You get the camaraderie. You'll get information if you are interested in participating or what we're trying to do. you know, we'll have that information. You get to bid on wonderful, you can bid on a mink coat if you want to, but more than that, you can know that, you know, your time and money spent tomorrow joining with us really does go to help connect our Native elders with Native youth. And those of us, you know, who know our traditional ways know that that relationship is sacred, and we've gotten away from it, you know, in these busy times and these days. But it's something that we cherish and we're trying to foster. And so your support will help, you know, help our Canoe family grow and become just bigger and stronger. So we just appreciate the time here tonight to be able to, I mean, we're super, super excited, and we hope everyone's excited to come out. So thank you so much for having us tonight. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being on the show. apparently, you didn't need any of my help, but that was a lot of great information. It's a really great cause, a really, really great fundraiser. Again, it's tomorrow at the Multnomah Friends Meeting House at 4312 Southeast Stark Street. Again, doors open at 6:45. I don't think we can say that enough. You should come out, check it out on Facebook, and drop on by. I really appreciate you, Nicole, and Cece for coming on to the show today. And hopefully we get to hear some more about the canoe journey later on. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's continue with our program, and let's listen to Treaties by Frank Wallen.
The treaty story, of course, begins before there was a United States, because it was nation to nation amongst the Native nations and the European nations.
The story's told with lies, lies, lies. The treaty signed.
The founding of this country, the U.S. government has made and broken over 500 treaties with various Indian tribes all across our nation.
War was lost, the treaty signed.
Over 500 trees.
They were unilateral agreements between two sovereigns, meaning that it was indigenous people here and the U.S. government, and it was equal. We still retain them. The other way that it's supported and retained, even though the U.S. government refuses sometimes to recognize that, and maybe these younger people that are listening to this can change this, because this is about healing. It's about forgiving. Do you know what the sixth article of the U.S. Constitution is? That treaties are the supreme law of the land. It actually says that in the U.S. Constitution. Treaties are the supreme law of the land.
The treaty signed. The treaty signed. I had a name, but never mind.
Now, it turns out that the problem with treaties begins not on the Native side, but like many problems, begins on the Western side.
The U.S. government has made and broken over 500 treaties with various Indian tribes.
Most of the non-Native people think of Indian treaties as Indian treaties. They don't think of them as their treaties. And these are everyone's treaties. These are the United States and the Native Nations, and we all have rights and we all have responsibilities. The United States gained a territory over which to govern through treaties. If you don't know treaty, and I'm not talking about treaty law, but if you don't know treaties, you just don't know American history.
But never mind. The treaty signed. The treaty signed.
Why is it important that the American people understand this? I mean, most people study a little bit about Native American history and maybe in school, but then it for many, I think it disappears from our daily news diet. So why was this important, and specifically the treaty? Why was it important?
We felt the United States, we felt the
people needed a civics lesson and a reminder that the Constitution doesn't just refer to the federal government and the state governments, it also refers to the Indian tribes.
The treaty signed. The treaty signed. The truth they die. The treaty signed. The treaty signed. The truth they die.
This is about healing. This is about healing. Healing.
Of this country, the U.S. government has made and broken over 500 treaties with various Indian tribes all across our nation.
But never mind.
You know what they say, right? An Indian ain't an Indian without his flow. So if one more cuff of them up to me and tell me to get my hair cut, you know what I'ma say? Long hair don't care.
When I got my first cut, I was about 3. I remember that shit like I was 13. Hair messing up the place, tears dripping down my face. Saved off from my pops, like, how could you betray me? Hey, but I never let it faze me. I never knew it then that my hair is what'll make me. Said long hair on a man looks lazy. Couldn't understand that it represented bravery. I never knew it then, but I do now. I stand out in a crowd cause my skin brown. Now I keep my hair down and I whip it all around like it's part of my regalia. Flowing at a powwow. Long hair don't care, I say it proudly. Long hair don't care, man, I say loudly. We the first of the nation with beauty all around us. Long black hair, boy, tell me how you found us. Tell me how you found us.
Tell me a little something about your hair, my cousin. Go!
The thing about my hair is that I grow it cause I love it. And I'm sick of hearing people asking when I'm gonna cut it. You're a native undercover like the Indian in the cupboard. And I'm Johnny Redcorn, I'm a bad guy.
He's a bad old guy.
And that's been me ever since birth. Oh, what you heard? I've been called worse. Long hair don't care, man, I'm sick of your opinions. I'ma do me, I'm a motherfucking Indian.
Long hair, don't care if anybody like it. What we doing, what we telling, man? This long hair don't care. Long hair, don't care if you feel a type of way about me. What we say, long hair.
Yeah!
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
You're listening to KBOO.